You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland. He's a senior pastor and one of the elders of Believers Baptist Church, and another of our elders, Philip Castleton. So, you know, we usually kind of start off with a story or something like that, but Philip already told his story. and
I'm not retelling it either.
And it's not probably going to be on here. It was a good one, and it was a humble brag, I feel like.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know how humble it was. I'd like to use that as a descriptive word, but I'm not so sure that was what was in my heart.
Anyway, yeah. So we have got one thing before we get to the question of the day. I want to ask you guys to go ahead, and if you think we're doing a good job, if you believe this is the truth, then we would ask for you to give us a review or a rating on iTunes. It means a lot to us to see the reviews. They could be even criticisms, as long as you give us 5 stars in the rating. So,
if you need something to say, call us. We've got some pre-scripted answers.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we will. We can do that. So, email us at the website or whatever if you need something pre-scripted. But with that said, we're going to get to the question of the day: should a Christian's life be easy or hard? And I think we've talked about maybe keeping some of these shorter, so I'm just going to answer this, and we'll be done, right?
That'd be great.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes is the answer.
Yes is the answer.
No, we actually are not done at that. So I guess we'll go to Jason here to start us off.
Well, it is a crucial question for the church in America today, because how many times do we hear a testimony spoken by a believer talking about how that becoming a Christian has made his or her life easier?
Yeah, and we're just bombarded with a modern day aberrant theology which preaches this
right
thing. So,
and most American Christians, it seems, mm-hmm. would describe Christianity in terms that would describe it as a good life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the benefits of what it is to be a believer in Christ, because there are benefits. There are emotional benefits. There are relational benefits. There are physical benefits. And so we can't deny the benefits. I mean, I think about what are the fruits of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mm-hmm. faithfulness, self-control. These things are good benefits that come to one who is a true believer.
Well, yeah.
Walking in obedience.
Well, and living in communion with other believers means you'll be the beneficiary of their kindness, patience, and all of those fruits. So sure, it's going to be good.
Right. And so we can understand that there is an aspect that the Christian life is a good life. And easy and good are two different words, two different thoughts. Is the Christian life easy? No, it's not easy, because my flesh is always still warring against the spirit man within me. My flesh is still tempted to sin. And for me to deny myself and to be willing to be obedient at any given moment is not always easy.
Mm-mm.
And so the Christian life, is it good? Yes. I mean, we are blessed people. And I know that I'm speaking for both of you as well in this moment, but we are blessed. We do have physical blessings and material blessings and emotional blessings and relational blessings that have come to us as a result of God's grace to us in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But is it always easy to live the Christian life? No. I think, though, about what Jesus says in Matthew 11, and these are familiar words that you all know, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Of course, this then the context, he's talking about the laws and the expectations of the religious leaders of the day as compared to what he was demanding, and that is a perfection that is accomplished for people by Jesus' own obedience. So I guess that the answer to the question, as you said just a moment ago, Tyler, is yes, it's an easy life and it's a good life, but also we have to understand that it is a life of chosen suffering.
Take up your cross.
Right. Which
and follow me.
Yes, and we see that in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus says those very words as he's speaking to the crowd on this particular day, 9:23, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So to follow Jesus mm-hmm. is a chosen life of suffering. I think about
It's a death march. I mean, no one in that culture,
yes,
would have understood that. They knew that nobody comes back from the cross. If you are condemned to crucifixion, you take up your cross. There's no chance of reprieval. I mean, that's probably, but a reprieve. You're not going to be, taken out or removed from this hostility. And Jesus is saying, weigh the cost. I mean, understand that if you want to be with me, it's going to require you a daily dying to yourself. Die, march to the death of your own self and live for me alone. So hard? Yeah, very hard.
Right. In the same chapter of Luke, chapter 9, it says that Jesus and some others were going along the road. And someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so, again, the just descriptive language, three different people that had come to Jesus and wanted to join with him, and Jesus said, "Do you realize what you're choosing?" Basically, mm-hmm. because there's a priority now, if you choose me, mm-hmm. in which you can expect hardship and difficulty.
Everything that you hold dear now may or may not be a part of your life when this is over, right?
Right.
I mean, and it has to be secondary, at this point. You know, it's interesting as we talk about this, because I think one of the things that, as you were talking a minute ago, it made me think that we seem to be promised a good life. Our experience is often disappointment, right?
Right.
So we become Christians, or we think we do, or whatever, but we come into this situation and we think to ourselves, well, now I'm in Christ and all my problems are gone. But the experience of our life is, this isn't realistic, right? I'm still struggling to pay my bills, or my husband and I still don't get along, or my wife, or whatever the case may be, right? I mean, it just doesn't seem to be fitting the idea. And I think there's a reason for that. I think part of it is discontent, so I'm not content. But why am I not content? Because I think that we add law. I need rules. I need not that the law is bad. I'm actually teaching right now through the Ten Commandments, and 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 trying to work out for everybody why the law is good. But I think we try to add law because we think I'm discontent because I need something to tell me how to do here or how to act there, or whatever the case may be. And instead of recognizing that it's that only constrains me to more discontent, right? I mean, mm-hmm. The fundamentalists do this all the time, right? They think that ultimately I'd be happiest if I, if all the girls were, skirts and, the reason you're not happy is because you're not in the will of the Lord, If you'll wear a skirt and all the men have their hair cut in such a way that it doesn't touch their ears and, you know what I mean? So we add all this law and then realize that all that does is incite in me more anxiety and more discontent instead of recognizing that the real satisfaction in all this is to rest, and this is what made me think about it, is to rest in the grace that God has provided.
Right.
When you were talking about my burden is light and all of that, I was thinking, you know why it's light? Because I no longer have to work.
Yes.
I used to have to work. I thought I had to work, and I worked and worked and worked and worked and thought that satisfaction, contentment, and peace with God came through work. And Jesus comes along and says, no, if you'll follow after me, the real contentment and satisfaction is resting in what I have done. And I think that's where the gospel promises an ease of life that the law can't provide. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be trouble-free. I think if we can rest in the gospel, what we recognize is that our reaction and our discontentment with the problems of this life seem to be almost nil when we rest in the fact that everything that I need to stand before God has been accomplished.
Right.
And no more work.
Right. And we're not always content because, number one, we hear a deviant gospel mm-hmm. of health, wealth, and prosperity. This is how your life will be if you come to saving faith, and you will have these material benefits, particularly.
But all of those benefits in that deviant gospel are predicated upon the law. If you scratch God
right.
like mm-hmm. this, then He will, scratch you like this.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
We always, when we find that we're discontent and unsatisfied and it never works out because we always find an aberrant gospel leading us to add more law, right, to what we need instead of recognizing that the law was to point us to grace.
Right.
And that we rest in Christ.
Yeah. And so my point is we are discontent because we hear that gospel preached, and we're discontent because American culture tells us that we've got to have more. Every advertisement, every mm-hmm. billboard, every
radio. You deserve a new car.
Yes, all those things tend to feed the desires of the flesh, and so the flesh is constantly warring for this kind of life that would be better because Christ isn't sufficient. Now, I think about Paul when we're in 2 Corinthians on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. and we're coming to this text in the future, but I'll go ahead and mention it here. He begins in chapter 11, starting verse 21, and he's talking about his sufferings. And some of these are intentional persecutions that are against him. For example, he speaks of 40 lashes. He speaks of being stoned. But he also speaks of being shipwrecked, which is not an intentional persecution. He speaks of hardships and the pressure of anxiety mm-hmm. upon him for the churches. He speaks of toil. Those are not intentional persecutions, but yet Paul lists those in the sufferings. And so in this life, we will have sufferings. Sometimes in our culture, in America, we don't have intentional persecution against us at this moment. But we do have sufferings that I think that come to us because we are obedient and are walking in faith. For example, if you on your job, this is hypothetical, decide to make a stand on the homosexuality issue based on your conviction from the Word of God, mm-hmm. And you are fired or demoted or ostracized by coworkers, that's not necessarily intentional persecution, where they're going to throw rocks at you or they're going to beat you with 39 lashes. But it is a result of the fact that you are standing on a Christian conviction, and so suffering comes.
Yeah.
So I guess all that to say that we are discontent with Christ when he's sufficient for every part of our life, even in those sufferings that are difficult, that are either from someone else or the making of just the living in a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we come to this text in the future in 2 Corinthians, remember in chapter 12, when Paul speaks of having this thorn in the flesh, and the response is in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So mm-hmm. the grace of God given to us, even in the hardships of life, still makes it a good life.
Well, in James, James says to count it all joy, right, mm-hmm. when these things happen. And the perspective, and it is a perspective issue at this point for James, the assumption is it's going to happen. Right?
Right.
But we're supposed to count it joy because God's grace is sufficient, right? One of the things I recognize is that God is doing a work in me, right, through the hardships and the joys. I mean, both of those things serve me and my sanctification, right? If all I ever get is good times, I'm going to be delayed in my sanctification, right?
Right.
But if all I ever have is bad times, I'm delayed. Part of my growth is seeing God's grace in both the good and the not so good, right? This is what Romans 8 is teaching us when it says that he works all things for the good in those who love him, right? And the point being that if I can recognize the grace in the good and the grace in the bad, and that they're both working for my sanctification, then I can look at no matter the situation that I'm in, right, and count it as joy,
right,
because I recognize that there's a work being done in me in that time. So I think you're absolutely right.
I also think, and tell me if you think this would be right. I think that our suffering and enduring of hardship and difficulty and the hard way, mm-hmm. the enduring of that is tied to our future resurrection.
No, well, I don't doubt that at all. In fact, there's even times when some people refused relief from suffering in the Scripture, the Bible says, because they longed for a better resurrection.
Right.
They were being tortured or something and said, hey, we'll release you from this. And they're like, no.
Right.
No, I long for the resurrection of my body, and I can count this one as loss. And go ahead and take it from me.
Right.
Right.
Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. But that hope is the hope of a better resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, so the Christian life, to go back again to what you said to now in the podcast, is the answer to the question, is the Christian life easy or hard, or should the Christian life be easy or hard? Yes, it should be both.
Yeah, and to go back to something else you said a minute ago, if you've never been ostrich-sized, you might want to get your head out of the sand.
And with that, we'll end.
Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.